Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and on today's show, we'll talk about higher education with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We'll meet the new VFW State Commander of Minnesota and get an update from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
On Purple Heart Day, we come together to pay homage to the valor and sacrifice of our heroes who have been wounded or laid down their lives in service to our nation. The Purple Heart is not merely a decoration. It symbolizes the indomitable spirit, resilience, and selflessness of our brave servicemen and women. It serves as a poignant reminder of the extraordinary price of freedom and the unwavering dedication of those who defend it. Every Purple Heart recipient carries a unique narrative of bravery and devotion to duty. Their stories stand as testaments to their gallantry and unwavering commitment to our country. Their sacrifices resonate deeply, reminding us of the profound debt we owe to those who bear the scars of battle on our behalf. As we pause to contemplate the significance of this day, let us ensure that their sacrifices are forever enshrined in our collective memory and that they receive the recognition and care they rightly deserve. To all Purple Heart recipients, both past and present, we extend our heartfelt gratitude and salute your extraordinary bravery and sacrifice. Your courage inspires us, and your legacy will endure.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Jim Miller and Dr. Ed Godfrey. Jim is the Director of Veterans Education and Occupational Resources, and by permission, I can call him Ed, who is the State Approving Agency Representative. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Truly.
Yeah, well, good to have you here and talk about some higher education things that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs can provide to our service members, our veterans. And, you know, I don't think that you can get enough education and to have resources available to our Minnesota veterans, of course, is extremely beneficial. So, Jim, I do want to start with you. And I actually should say both of you are veterans. Both of you have served. And so thank you for your service. We appreciate that. And Jim, as the director of, the Occupational Resource Education, Occupational Resources, what is available or what does the MDVA, what do you provide to our veterans in your capacity or in your department?
In our department, we provide essentially across the entire state, we have representatives out there on the education side that work directly with the veterans and their family members. So across all institutes of higher learning or anything that offers classes past high school and even in high school sometimes, we have reps that can walk folks through the process it takes to get their veteran education benefits. Now, I'm an old troop. It was fairly simple back in the day, governmental-wise, to walk in and say, here's my Montgomery GI Bill or Chapter 30. Since that time, in the last 25 years, it has become exceedingly more complex. So to answer that and to assist our veterans across the state that are coming back off of active duty or deployments to see what's out there and to help them navigate that, we have people that are assigned to every institute.
Yeah, I think, back in the day when I first started my higher education up at St. Cloud State, I remember walking into the financial aid office and meeting with a counselor to say, hey, I am eligible for this thing called the GI Bill, and their staff knew exactly what they needed to do with that and walked me through the process, you know, other than the other state benefits, like from the Minnesota Guard, tuition reimbursement, that type of a thing. But there really wasn't any confusion about what I was eligible for. So for you to bring in a team now and put them at each of our institutes of higher learning, boy, things have changed a lot, haven't they?
They have. Same thing with me when I walked into off of active duty into Harvard, the Northwoods, Bemidji State. somebody there, you know, to help me go through that, the state or the school certifying official, and then on the when I went back into the Guards, the you know, our readiness NCOs helped with that.
Yeah.
Now it's too complex. There's too many. There's time restraints. There's what am I qualified for here? What am I qualified for there? So, we have a coverage on everywhere. We have coverage on campuses across the state. MinState, private institutions, University of Minnesota institutions, where we can meet right there at veteran resource centers that are in all the MinState campuses have a veteran resource center.
And then is your team working in concert with the financial aid offices or higher education counselors at each of these campuses to kind of help with, walking the students through the process as well or to get the education that they're trying to find? Or are you pretty isolated with just the veteran as they walk in?
No, it's a team approach. Whenever we do anything with the institutions or with the colleges, it's a team approach. We're there to assist not only the student, but also the college, and Ed will go into more of what we do to assist on the college side of things. But that team on there, the regional coordinator that's assigned to a university, whether it's St. Cloud State, Bemidji State, Winona, community colleges across, they work with the veteran and assist them with the front office, with the financial aid. Okay. They're not there to tell them what classes to take, but they are there to show them what's available for them with benefits.
To make sure they maximize those benefits. And you mentioned regional, so I'm assuming that means that one of the representatives, they're not just solely based in one college. They've got multiple colleges that they're trying to cover over the course of, the school year.
Correct. It's really a physics problem. We have 12 regional coordinators across the state. So some of them are on the road quite a bit. We need to have a physical presence at every one of our veteran resource centers. We owe that to the students. Sometimes they're not in places as much as they're in others, but every public institution or private has somebody assigned to them, and it's just a phone call to get them there. We do have some that are based out of, for example, if someone's based out of Bemidji State, but they take care of the Northwest region mm-hmm. and the two-year institutions that are around there in the private colleges, and the same in the metro and the same in Southeast. It is a zone defense, but the thing is we are flexible. They will go to where the veteran has the question. The veteran or their family member will go to that institution, sit down with them, even though there's not a full-time person. I can't field 130 people. I think I wouldn't have the budget for that, but right. We do have 12 and we have cars. So.
Yeah, and of course, you do the other duties as assigned. I know that your team also was working pretty heavily on the post 9/11 service bonuses as well. So it's not just that you're dealing with education benefits and resources. You've got other missions that you need to support from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Correct. Yeah, we just got done with that. That program, Sunset Editor, was done on June 30th. So they were taking – our reps were working overtime doing not only the business of getting the benefits to the student veterans, but also the bonus program, which really hit a lot of the students. So it was the right place to have it. And getting the word out of that bonus was a challenge, and it helped having it on the campuses. But yeah, it's duties
as assigned,
and it is nice to have that off the plate and be able to fully focus on education stuff now.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that and the work that you guys did on that. And I want to make sure that we get Ed into this conversation. And, we've been talking here for, 8.5, 9 minutes now. But Ed, I do want to make sure that you can try to explain to us, we talk about the state approving agency. What is that and what does it have to do with higher education?
For sure. A state approving agency basically oversees the GI Bill in the state of Minnesota. There are actually 53 state approving agencies spread out. D.C., Puerto Rico get one. Washington State has two of them for some reason. But it's going back into the 40s, it was a state's rights issue that the states kind of objected to federal government coming in and telling them how they should run their education. So they kind of said, all right, let's have the state do it. We'll reimburse you for your time, but you're going to oversee the GI Bill in your state. So that's a state approving agency for veterans education benefits.
Okay. And so are you a state employee then?
Yes, sir. MDVA.
Okay. You're an MDVA state employee, but then the federal government reimburses that? Is that what you're just saying?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. We execute a federal contract that Jim Miller signs.
Yeah, that's right. And your responsibility is to make sure that the GI Bill is being executed properly.
Yes, sir.
All right, perfect. Well, we're going to talk about the GI Bill when we come back in the next segment because it's not just about money for college anymore.
That's right.
And we want to make sure we get that message out. Please stay with us. We're going to come back. We'll talk more about higher education with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Jim Miller and Ed Godfrey. And Ed, when we went into break, you were talking about the state approving agency, how you're here to have oversight of the of the GI Bill. Mm-hmm. And but you know, when I think about the GI Bill, I think about that, money for school. You know, I'm going to get some money to go to college. Depending on the type of GI Bill, maybe there's some BAH or a housing allowance that goes along with it. But you want to make sure today that you have the opportunity to share this message that the GI Bill is not just about money for college.
Absolutely.
There's a lot more to it. So, how about if you tell us, what do you mean, and really what is more to it than money for college?
For sure. We try to do a lot of outreach to expand what the GI Bill is and raise awareness to it outside of just the confines of money for college. And that's deliberate advertising from DOD to get people to join. It's like, join the military, get your money for college, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. And it was just marketing to really drive home that recruiting incentive. But since its inception, since 1945, it's been transition assistance. And if that's the one thing to take away from this is replace money for college with transition assistance. That is to say, how can you get an active duty service member back into the civilian lifestyle? Money or college is clearly one path for that.
Right.
But the aspects that are overlooked are on-the-job training and apprenticeship, working at a job, getting training to just develop a vocation, and licensing and certification tests, to anything that you need, like a commercial driver's license. If you need that for your job, the GI Bill can reimburse that.
And, all right, so we can say that. Someone has a ton of questions. They're like, well, wait a minute, I'm going to do this, that, or the other thing. How do I find out if that might be something that's reimbursed? Is the easy answer just go to your county veteran service officer? Or what would you tell somebody? You know, how do you address this?
For questions when it comes to this, CVSO is always a good person to start with. That is your area expert when it comes to funneling those questions to the correct person. But also you can go to the mymilitary.org or minnesotaveteran.org to track down who's in your region education-wise.
Yeah, so the Minnesota question. Department of Veterans Affairs, their main website, the shortcuts, minnesotaveteran.org. And then from there, you can see all of the different benefits available. And education obviously has its own page where you'll find this kind of stuff out. But CVSO, I think, is always a good starting point.
For sure.
Because they at least know then the person at MDVA generally that they can call. And so now we can get someone on the other end and start getting some answers. Now, what about Jim talked about having these regional reps. Do they have this same information available to them where someone could walk into that college when the rep is there and say, hey, tell me about this OJT stuff?
For sure. I would think that would be the first point of contact. If you could find your campus rep, they will be the ideal point of contact for that. I work primarily with the schools to get them to make sure that they're adhering to federal law to support the GI Bill. I also work with businesses to help them get approved for the GI Bill. So I'm more behind the scenes working with businesses and schools. So the campus rep is really that front line of veteran service.
When you say you're working with businesses to help them get approved for the GI Bill, what does that mean?
It basically done to inspect what they're doing and what they're doing. Is it a vocation? CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, says that it has to be something that requires at least 6 months of structured training. So I go in there and to make sure that they're actually learning something, that they're going to have a skill, a vocation, a trade that they're developing. Kind of a counterexample, it's actually in the law that says you can't be like a soda fountain attendant, which is peculiar.
Right.
More like a cash register operator. It's yeah. like I worked at a liquor store for a while, and facing bottles and running the cash register takes about 30 minutes to learn. Not a vocation, and by the way VA would define it.
So let's get into an example then. And if I'm way off base, you got to let me know, right? You're going to educate me here. But if I wanted to be a mechanic, for example, mm-hmm. A business might be able to – would they get some type of compensation then to have me come there to work for them to get this on-the-job training? Or what's the tie into the business? And is a mechanic a good example?
Absolutely. There's tons of positions approved for that already, especially through the building trades. But yeah, the benefit, you could say the first benefit's having a veteran working for them, that they can get up early, show up on time, look in the eye, call you sir, ma'am. The Minnesota GI Bill will actually reimburse businesses for their time for hosting the GI Bill. It's $1,000 to hire and $1,000 to retain. So the state of Minnesota will cut you a check if you are running this program and facilitating that veteran's benefits.
And so now would the veteran then also receive some compensation through the GI Bill?
Yep.
And so the employer is getting a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting some compensation for hiring a veteran and providing OJT. The veteran is getting a paycheck from the employer
mm-hmm.
and also receiving some money from the GI Bill. It seems like it's kind of a win-win-win all the way around, right?
And especially with the whole transition assistance, sometimes what it takes is money. You know, I like to think of the example of moving from Fort Benning to Minneapolis. Like you're going to need some parkas for your kids, snow tires, a snow blower. It's like there's so much that just, you know, patriotism and little American flags only go so far. It's like sometimes cash is what you need to make that transition. And businesses need to agree to, you know, it's voluntary. It's not compulsory. So if they don't want to support it, they don't have to.
Okay.
So I think that part of that $2,000 is also just a thank you for supporting veterans. That's
right. And
a lot.
Most businesses, I would assume, really, they'd want to hire a veteran anyway, whether yeah. or not this program was available. However, if it's available, why not take advantage of right. it to get that extra, you know, $2,000 or whatever it ends up being?
99% of the businesses we've worked with have been wildly enthusiastic about the program. So
okay.
it's really finding the veteran. Sometimes the hard part's finding that advocate in the business to say, yeah, we do want to support you. We want to host this program.
But there's specific types of businesses or, like you were saying, you know, the 6-month training program.
At least.
It's got to be something that is kind of – it requires more than 30 minutes of
yeah.
training.
Like I'm working with Minnetonka Police Department right now. I just approved Health and Human Services in Brown County, out New Ulm. So it's stuff like that where the people are developing professional career tracks. So.
And so is this you reaching out, or is this part of this outreach or marketing you've been doing, and all of a sudden now you're getting phone calls from a business like that saying, hey, I heard about this deal. I want to find out if I might be eligible.
And that seems to be the rub, Doug, is getting that word out to the – connecting that last piece. We have the veteran that is training. We have a business that's interested in it. We've got it getting Ed to those folks and getting the word out that we're the folks to come talk to complete this circuit so that everyone gets the benefits that has been earned by the veteran and the effort that's being put forth by the businesses.
And so if I'm a and I don't know which one of you'd want to answer this, but if I'm already working somewhere, but maybe I want to make a change of my job or position that requires additional training, could I be eligible? Could my employer be eligible for reimbursing or helping with that assistance as well?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you have federal benefits remaining, we can get the approval done. The big cutoff date right now with the post 9/11 GI Bill is January 1st of 2013. If you got out prior to that, you've got 15 years to use your benefit.
Okay. So
that was the forever GI Bill. So if you get out after 1/1/13, you've got the rest of your life.
So we have to talk really quickly about the professional license reimbursement through the state, because we've only got a minute and a half left here. So do you want to expand on that a little bit and tell us what the benefits are there?
For sure. It's a reimbursement program. If you pay for a license or certification out of pocket, the federal or state will reimburse it. So like Dennis in our office is keeping up his what's the certificate?
The law certificate.
Certificate. Yeah, he's doing that. There's a handful of other ones that are
like CLEs or something that he's got to do.
Correct.
Right? Something like that. Okay.
It also supports preparatory courses that are required to take it, like a CDL training. Like if you want to go to a truck driving school, we can get that truck driving school approved as licensure prep, which is a reimbursement. It's not as good as a GI Bill paying tuition, but we can get you can get reimbursed.
But again, that's dependent on having benefits remaining?
That's correct.
Okay. And how would someone find out what kind of benefits they have left? Is this one of the regional reps again?
Absolutely. That's who you want to talk to. So, and you might not even plan on going to Minneapolis College here, but that's the closest building to where you are living.
Yeah.
You can walk in, talk to Dwayne Bauer there. They've got, even Minneapolis has, the college has their own veterans helpers there too. That's your starting point. Go in there, talk to them, and we will get you to the correct person to get the circuit connected.
So to our veterans that are out there, to businesses that are out there, check into the benefits that could be eligible or could be available to you, whether it's to go and get the education or provide a working place and provide that mentorship for that six-month program or whatever it is, and you very well could make a little bit of money for doing that as well.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Right. And so we'll direct everybody to minnesotaveteran.org, then get more information about the higher education benefits that are offered through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And, of course, if nothing else, get to your CVSO or swing by that college and check in with one of the regional reps from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Hey, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Hope you have a great rest of the day. And you know, good luck getting that messaging out. We'll keep sharing that.
Thanks for your help with that.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In a moment, we're going to meet the new VFW state commander. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
If you've served honorably, are a Minnesota resident, and are interested in higher education, you may be eligible for education benefits in Minnesota. The Minnesota GI Bill provides post-secondary educational assistance to eligible Minnesota veterans, currently serving military, National Guard and Reserve members, and eligible spouses and children. The Minnesota GI Bill can reimburse out-of-pocket costs for professional exams, licenses, and certifications. It also provides financial assistance while training for a career or trade through an on-the-job training or apprenticeship program. For full eligibility requirements, contact your local county veteran service officer, call 1-888-LINK-VET, or visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. In the studio with me is David Stalen. David is a U.S. Navy veteran. He served in many positions in the VFW, including but not limited to post-quartermaster and commander, district commander, and is now the new VFW state commander in Minnesota. David, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you for your service. We appreciate that. And speaking of your service, you served in the U.S. Navy for about 8.5 years of active duty time. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your military service.
Certainly, I'd be happy to. I did serve in the Navy, as you mentioned, initially right out of high school, 4 years as a radioman, radioman second class, serving on a destroyer homeported out of Yokosuka, Japan. I went to college, and in college, I got out of the Navy and went to college, and I served in the Nebraska Air National Guard. And then after college, I returned to the Navy for 4 years as a Navy Supply Corps officer. And during that tour, that included service on a large supply ship that was involved in Desert Storm.
Wow. So the Navy, the Air National Guard, and then back to the Navy. That's kind of an interesting go around there.
It is.
What was the big decision to go from the Navy to the Air Guard and then back?
It was money. So when I was in college in Nebraska, the state would pay 50% of my tuition if I was in like the Navy Reserve, but they pay 75% if I was in either the Air National Guard or Army National Guard. So I switched from the Navy Reserve for the Air National Guard strictly to help pay for school.
Wow, that is pretty interesting. But you're running the numbers, and you're like, I could really use that extra 25%.
Exactly.
And then here you are after your service, and then all of a sudden now you're the state commander of the VFW. What led you to the VFW? I'm looking at your bio. You're involved in other organizations or membership in other organizations. You're a member of the American Veterans. You're paid up for life with the American Legion, the Disabled American Veterans. But why the VFW? Why are you, you know, what brought you up through the ranks? Why did you select that VFW?
Oh, certainly, certainly. So after getting out of the Navy, I worked for 29 years for an employer, and I always wanted to volunteer. And so I actually spent 11 years as a police reserve officer for St. Paul volunteering. And after 11 years, I kind of got tired of that, wanted to do something different. So I kind of retired from that. And then I joined both the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And what's funny, it was just the VFW that kind of invited me to get involved, take a leadership position first. And for that reason, I kind of focused on the VFW. And that's my main source of giving back to the community is my work with the VFW.
Now, you said that they invited you. Now, is that really the right word to choose, or were you kind of strong-armed into it?
Well, I do believe it was my third or fourth month attending meetings, and the post commander said, you know, you keep coming back. How would you like to be our junior vice commander for the post? And I signed up.
And everybody else in the room was right there cheering you on, saying, yes, you should do it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it generally works. Well, let's talk a little bit about the VFW. You know, we know that membership, right, has to deal with being involved in a foreign conflict, right?
Right.
But what do you see are some of the successes of the VFW? I mean, Minnesota, we're known for doing a lot of things really, really well. What about success in Minnesota as it relates to the VFW? What do you see there?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot that's going on with the VFW in Minnesota. I don't think a lot of people realize it. At our post level, our local level, we have about 190 posts in Minnesota. Many of them have their own building, a post home, as we call it, some with a club room, perhaps even a restaurant. Our purpose, though, isn't to run a bar or a restaurant. Those club rooms for the posts that have them are places where our members can gather and talk about their experiences. As the Veterans of Foreign Wars, our members have served essentially in a war zone. So it's a unique requirement for our organization. And so having a place where our members can gather and chat with people who've been through the same experiences means a lot to a lot of people.
I think that's, you know, one of the things when we've had other guests on, we talk about things like PTSD, for example. And, you know, one of the common threads is trying to get our service members around other people that have shared experiences. And, you know, in your club room or clubhouse or whatever you want to call it, to get people when you walk in there, for the most part, you're going to be around others that probably have some type of a shared experience, which, once you agree, really helps with building camaraderie, but then also getting people to open up a little bit and start to face maybe some of these demons that they might have in front of them.
Absolutely. That's very true. And of course, for those who don't want to, you know, sit at a bar and drink, not everyone drinks or wants that environment, which I understand. I don't hang out in our club room very much personally, but we have a lot of different programs that we're doing where our members and our auxiliary can work together, whether it's youth activities or organizing activities for older veterans. That gives us a chance to also get together and work together, both give back to the community, but also spend time with people that, as you said, have that same experience that we've had.
Bring people together, but then provide an opportunity to give back as well, because there's a lot of joy, I think, that comes in having an opportunity to volunteer, especially when you're volunteering for something you believe in, you know, and really can support and get behind.
Absolutely. That's very true. And I did want to call out actually our VFW Veterans Service Office. That's one of kind of the hidden gems of the VFW in Minnesota. We have a service office with John Goen as our director, and he has four folks that work with him, and these are full-time VFW employees, and their job is to help veterans with their claims with the VA, their initial claims, their appeals, gathering the information that they need, helping them in any way they can to make sure that their claims are processed and they can get the maximum benefits from the VA that they're entitled to due to their service.
And we always, on this show, we often direct people to go to the county veteran service officer. But there is an option to use one of the veteran service organizations as well. And as you just stated, the VFW, you've got people that can support that as well. And maybe if that's the relationship you have, you feel more comfortable using that organization. So although we talk more about the CVSO, a VSO, veteran service organization, can support as well.
Absolutely. In fact, interestingly, at my post, I'm from Cottage Grove, we actually refer people to our Washington County CVSO. That's, they know both the federal programs and the state programs, so they're especially perfect for that.
Right.
But also there's a number of counties, I don't know how many, but there's a number of counties that actually then go through our VFW service office to be the official power of attorney for the veteran. And so we're working with a number of counties. So we don't hesitate to refer people to the CVSO first.
So we've only got a minute left in this segment. I'm just wondering if you might be able to tell us about membership. You know, how's membership? Do you have some challenges? What are you doing to combat that?
Sure. I think a lot of organizations, membership organizations, are having issues. We're not doing too bad right now. We definitely have some posts that are struggling to fill some of their officer positions. We've had to consolidate a few posts. But in Minnesota, we've hit last year like 98% of our membership goal. So we definitely didn't hit what we wanted, and we want to increase that. But we've got an estimated 34% of the veterans in Minnesota who are VFW membership eligible, 34% as members. We'd like to increase that, but that's actually a nice solid number when we compare it to other states.
Perfect. Well, this would be a great opportunity. We'll take a break here, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about some of the other things we love hearing about, like, you know, your Commander's Project, and then what it's like working with some of these other veteran service organizations. Please stay with us. We'll come back. We'll talk to the new VFW State Commander here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me is the VFW State Commander in Minnesota, the new commander. That is David Stalen. And before we went into the break, we're talking about membership, and you're doing pretty good. You're at 34% right now. Of course, wanting to increase that as most veteran service organizations want to. But speaking of veteran service organizations, what's it like working with the other service organizations? What's the relationship that you have with other entities?
Well, Doug, I think it's actually great. A lot of people think that we're working against each other, and I really don't see that myself. At the post level, we have posts that are sharing space. For example, an American Legion meets at a VFW post or vice versa, or an AMVETS post does. We have posts that cooperate together. Our Woodbury VFW post 9024 and the Woodbury American Legion Post 501 cooperate quite a bit. The local Memorial Day observance is put on by those two posts working together, and they also have an annual award ceremony for the community with, like, Teacher of the Year, Public Service Award, Scout of the Year. They cooperate quite a bit.
I think it just makes sense, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I think we have to evaluate what it is that we're trying to do, and that is to provide an opportunity for our service members, right? So a person who is eligible to be in the VFW is eligible to be in the American Legion, but not vice versa necessarily, right? They could be, of course. And so, you know, we looked at your bio. I read it. You know, you're a member of multiple veteran service organizations. And I think the key here is that we just want to support the veteran community. Let's call it the veteran service organization as a whole, so that our currently serving, those who have retired, and those who come in the future can continue to enjoy the benefits we've been able to enjoy, and maybe even fix some of the issues that are presenting themselves right now.
Absolutely. It's true that many of our members are members of multiple veteran service organizations, and the bottom line is we have the same goals, even if we sometimes go at them slightly differently.
Absolutely. Now, I want to make sure we take a couple of minutes to give you an opportunity to talk about the special project. We know that in each of our organizations, when we have the president or the commander come in from the service organization, there's generally a project or something that they're working for their tenure, you know, that legacy thing, you know. So what is your commander's project?
Yes, this year, so my commander's project, which is also our auxiliary president's commander's project, we've done joint projects for the last couple of years in the VFW in Minnesota. But this year, Believe Vet Canine Service Partners, which is located in Northfield, that is our joint project, and they provide service dogs to veterans for free.
And so you said you're teaming up with the auxiliary. So tell us, what is the auxiliary?
Sure. The VFW auxiliary are family members of veterans. And IRS regulations actually kind of govern who's eligible. But essentially, if you're the grandparent, parent, child, grandchild, spouse or sibling of someone who's eligible for the VFW, even if they're not actually a member but just eligible, then that person is eligible for the VFW auxiliary. And we've got about 15,000 VFW auxiliary members in Minnesota, and they're instrumental to the success of our programs.
And does it work the same way as far as like, you know, really using that membership number to support the legislative initiatives of the service organization?
Absolutely. When we go to the legislature or when the national VFW goes to Congress, I know the national VFW, the figure we're using currently is 1.4 million veterans and auxiliary members, family members. And those numbers really matter. If we went to Congress and said we had 9,000 members, it might be, how did you get an appointment? But with 1.4, 1.5 million, yeah, they're going to listen.
Yeah, those are some voting members right there, aren't there?
Exactly.
Well, hey, Commander, it's great to have you in Minnesota Military Radio. I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to get you on the show again throughout the next year, especially with your involvement with the Commander's Task Force. Where can someone go to get information about the VFW eligibility or events and things going on?
Absolutely. The best place to go to is vfwmn.org.
All right, vfwmn.org. We'll make sure there's a link to that in our show notes, too, and out on the website so that people can go get information. So, again, hey, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Doug.
We've been speaking with the new VFW State Commander in Minnesota, David Stalen. Joining me from the telephone now is the director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Doug. Thank you for having me back.
Well, wonderful to have you on the show. We've got a couple of things we want to talk to, not a whole bunch of time, but you know what? I hear that flu season's right around the corner. What's your messaging to our veterans about flu season?
You know, we of course recommend that all of our veterans get the flu vaccine every year. So we're starting really just sort of save the dates. And so on the September the 26th, October the 3rd, and on October the 10th, those are all Thursdays. You know, we are having walk-in clinics at all of our community-based clinics, and so we're going to be doing it here at the medical center, too, but I would recommend that all of our veterans consider getting the flu vaccine. You know, it's effective. It might make you less sick. You know, you might not get the flu, but it's our advice that veterans take advantage of that. And again, those three dates, September 26th, October 3rd, and October 10th.
Now, is there kind of like a prime time? Like, you know, is July or August now? Is it too early? Do we really want to start doing it in September?
You know, Doug, we don't have the vaccine really available to distribute yet. My advice that I get from my smart doctors is, you know, to wait until the fall or till, you know, a little bit later when it's more likely that we're going to have a little bit of flu in the community. We haven't seen any of that here yet, and so, yeah, waiting till around late September, early October is probably the best time.
And those doctors know best, so
they do.
We'll listen to them. One of the other topics on here is the Joint Retiree Appreciation Day. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I don't know how many of your listeners are aware of this, but every year there's a group of retirees that sponsors a Retiree Appreciation Day. This year, it's being held at Treasure Island, and what the nature of the event is, you know, it's geared towards military retirees, and they bring in a variety of speakers to include, you know, attorneys who can talk about estate planning and wills and benefits, and you know, I talk about some health related things, and our regional office director Kim Graves speaks about benefits. And so it's a full day. It's a Saturday, and the idea is on that Saturday that they hear about some of the benefits that maybe have changed or maybe have changed since they retired. And so your listeners can access that by going to the DFAS Retired Military Events in Google, and then there will be a link that will take them to the Minnesota event. But again, DFAS Retired Military Events, It's at Treasure Island. It's September 7th. It's all day, and it's a pretty good deal.
And you'll be speaking.
Oh, well, that may not be the highlight, but yeah, I'll be there. I'll be speaking.
Well, those of us that know you, I'm sure it'll be the highlight. speaking of highlights, when we had your segment the last time, Melanie was able to call in from New Orleans and talk about the wheelchair games. We had two fantastic athletes that came down from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And I understand that you were able to travel down and see some of the games. How was your experience?
Well, it was a great experience. And the main reason why I went this year is that, you know, we are hosting the games here in Minneapolis next July. So, you know, next summer, July 17th to the 22nd, the National Veteran Wheelchair Games will be here in Minneapolis. We hosted in 2005, so 20 years ago, and this is a phenomenal event. I mean, you know, you interviewed two of our athletes. You know, we sent 19 of our athletes there. Five of them were first-timers, brought home a bunch of medals, eight of which were gold.
Wow.
You know, it's really a great event. You really have to experience it. I know you were good enough to have those two of them on your show. But the National Veteran Wheelchair Games, it happens every year. This year was in New Orleans. Following year, following Minneapolis, it's going to be in Miami. It goes around the country. And they have about 600 wheelchair veterans who participate in a whole variety of great sports. And so real highlight for me this summer was to get down there, see this firsthand, and really sort of wet my whistle for what it is we're going to be able to do next summer here in Minneapolis.
Well, we look forward to having it here in Minneapolis next summer. Director, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Doug.
You bet. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us. Join us next week. We'll go on the road and record from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.